Lighthouse Church presents the following message.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Ben Montgomery. I'm the deacon of the men's ministry here at Lighthouse. Pastor Jason is in San Antonio, or on his way back from San Antonio from a wedding. So, this is my first time to preach ever, all right? So, here we go. Oh, Lord help us. So, hey guys, if you're visiting, come back next week when Jason's here, all right? Oh, goodness. So guys, today we're going to be reading out of 1 Peter. We'll be in chapter 1, starting at verse 13, if you guys want to go ahead and start turning that way. As you're turning to 1 Peter, let me just give you a brief summary of the gospel. As you all know, Jesus is the Son of God. He was never created. He was known before the foundations of the earth. He is infinite in power and is the creator and ruler of all things. And yet he came to the earth born as a fragile baby from the Virgin Mary, made in the image of man. He walked a sinless life with his hope in the Father, and he was in deep relation with the Father, which is what the Lord calls us to with him. He was persecuted and slain on a cross for our sins, and his body was later put to rest for our atonement. But church, the story doesn't end there. Because he fully paid the penalty for our sins, death could no longer hold him. And on the third day, he rose again, conquering death, so that we may have eternal life with him and the Father. But praise God, the story doesn't end there. He left us with the Holy Spirit, so that through the Spirit, he will draw our hearts to himself and give us the gift of himself over and over again. So what does that mean for those or us who believe? In 1 Peter, starting in verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, the same God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. So your faith and your hope are in God. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is the word of the Lord. Today I will be preaching on the eternal hope of the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we love you. God, you are good. And Lord, as we just come to you today and worship you, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit just fill this room and fills me, Father, as I am your vessel. Speak through me, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you give me the words to say and give congregation the ears to hear so that you may be glorified, Father. And if anything comes out of my mouth that is not from you, Father, I pray that you just let it fall from the wayside, Father. And Lord, I just praise you. I pray for your strength to get through this and your wisdom. And I just pray blessings over this congregation as you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in order to understand the gospel, we must know who we are in communion with Christ. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Church, he was there from the beginning. From the beginning of eternity, he was there, and God created us in his image and his likeness. Church, this is our first glimpse of hope right here. God created Jesus. He didn't create Jesus. He wasn't created. But God and Jesus, they made us in their likeness, and they are eternal, just as they created us to be eternal with them. We're just on this side of eternity right now. Praise God. We're going to glory to be with them for eternity. Thankful for that. In this passage, image means essence or attributes. Attributes. Jen and I have been talking about that word all week. She's a teacher, and she's like, you got to pronounce it attributes. So there we go. In this passage, image means essence or attributes, which is the core nature or most important qualities of a person. So what are some of the attributes of God? This may be helpful to know since we get our attributes through him and in him. One of his attributes is goodness. Goodness means all that God is and does is worthy of approval. He is the final standard of goodness. Praise God, his goodness showers over us and fills us, and out of his abundance, we are worthy of his approval. We are worthy of his approval. God, that's good. I know that for me, when I first started walking with the Lord, I just didn't feel worthy of God's approval. I had a past of just being not the best kid, although I had an appearance of being really good. I liked to party, and I hung out with girls, and you name it. We won't go into that today. But I just didn't feel worthy of his approval, and I struggled with that for a long time. I said, Lord, how can I share your word after what I've done? And praise God, over time, he's put men into my life that have spoken his word into me and just spoken identity into me so that I can walk in the freedom of the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. It's out of abundance of his goodness overflowed out of others to me so that I am worthy of the Lord. So if anybody's telling you you are not worthy, they don't have the final say. They don't have the final say. Praise God. Another attribute is love. God is freely and eternally giving of himself for the good of others. There is nothing we can do to earn God's love. He freely gives us his love. Another story is about 2 or 3 years ago. Harper's our oldest, so Harper just turned 7 Friday. We have a 3-year-old Hannah and baby Layton on the way. Harper being our oldest, we were first-time parents, and she was sick for about 3 weeks. And just high fevers, 105, 106, in and out of Children's. And all they could say is it's just a virus that has to run its course. And it tore us up. We just wanted her to be healed and feel better. And driving home from work one day, I found myself negotiating with the Lord. Anybody ever done that? And I knew better. I knew he didn't work that way. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, Lord, I'll give you anything. I'll give away my truck. What do you want me to do? Right? Like, what do you want me to do? And just heal my daughter. And as I was negotiating with him and praying, I heard the Lord. I was driving. I know exactly where I was. And he said, I know you will, but would you do that for me? And man, I didn't answer him. And when I didn't answer him, he knew my answer. And he said, "I know, but I love you anyways." He loves us anyways. His love is unconditional on what we have and what we'll give him. His love is unconditional. Praise God. And church, I can't make this up. I get home to go check on her, and her fever's broke. And she was healed. She was healed. She was no longer sick. Incredible. God's love is unbelievable. Church, all he wants is our hearts. He doesn't want our stuff. He doesn't care about that. He created all these things. He just wants our hearts. That's it. He wants to be in relationship with us. And he wants to commune with us. Thank God that we serve a God like that. So thankful. Another attribute is mercy. Mercy is God's kindness toward those in misery and distress. God's kindness towards those in misery and distress. So, church, what do you set your hope in when you are in misery or distress? A lot of us tend to set it on just worldly things. I need this or I need that, right? But the truth is, he alone is enough. When we're in misery or distress, it could be for financial reasons or health reasons or you name it. But it's not Jesus plus promotion or Jesus plus health. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And he satisfies everything. He is enough. And when we are in misery and distress, he shows up with his kindness and his mercy and just fills us. Church, I just want to encourage you not to get in the insanity cycle of sin to where you are just constantly looking for Jesus plus something. Just focus on Jesus. He alone, he is enough. Another attribute is grace. Grace is God's favor toward those who deserve only punishment. And it empowers us towards belief and obedience in Christ. We all need God's grace, and he gives us grace. And as he gives us grace, it transforms us into what he created us to be. Thank the Lord for his grace. Another attribute is patience. Patience is God's kindness in withholding punishment of those who sin over a period of time. Thank the Lord he was patient with me. And I know he's been patient in y'all's life as well. So how patient has he been with you? So I just want to encourage you guys, in the same way he's patient with us, be patient with others. Respond in the spirit, being enduring and long-suffering with one another. The fruits of his goodness will be there. So when you go home this week and you're with your spouse or your kids and that argument pops up, which it will, or you're at work, it's going to happen. Just view those as opportunities for the Lord to sanctify things in your heart, right? And be patient. Be patient and long-suffering with who you're going through that with, knowing that the Lord is working in you as you are being transformed into the image of God. Praise God. He's doing it in us. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about being transformed into the image of God. Again, God is doing the work. So if you think you're doing the work, I would encourage you to read that and study that, because by the grace of God, because we are in Christ Jesus, he does the work in us. Okay, so now that we all have an idea of what the gospel is and who God is, let's take a look at our passage. We're going to try to beat the Baptist to church today, so I'm going to try to speed up to lunch, not to church. We're going to try to get out here and go eat lunch. So we'll speed it up a little bit here. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So right now, as we gather corporately, God is reminding us that our identity is in Christ. Thank the Lord. And as we prepare our minds for God's work that he has predestined for us, be sober-minded, church. So sober-minded doesn't mean don't be drunk or don't be whatever. Sober-minded means putting your mind on the Lord and nothing higher, because there is nothing higher than the Lord. So set him at your highest thought. Set your hope, when it says set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation of Christ. Set your hope, church. This is active. We are to set our hope in the gospel of grace and who God is, knowing that he will show up. Set your hope in that, church. So many times we set our hope in other things other than the gospel, like idols. And boy, the Lord, he really took me a couple years of showing me what my idols were. And it was pretty painful, but I praise God for that. So idolatry occurs when we take God's creations that are intended to point us to God, but instead they replace our thoughts and desires. Think about that. So this can even mean holding your family as an idol, holding your job or your health or your wealth. All of those things can be idols. Well, I had a few idols. A season that the Lord took me through and showed me was that I held my family as an idol. And I just had a hard time with that, because as I was praying, I was like, Lord, how can I love you more? I see my family every day. I touch them. I conversate with them. I suffer with them. They're my family. Like, how can I love you more? Like, I know I pray. I know I worship. I know I love you. But I just love my family more. Like, help me with that, Father. And over the course of 2 years, he did. He showed up, and he started tearing things down in my heart that just showed me how to love him. And what I learned was that as we love Christ first, his love will overflow our cup and allow us to love others appropriately. Isn't that good? Like, I wasn't even loving my family rightly because it wasn't coming out of abundance of his love. Praise God. Man, he is so good. Verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. As obedient children, church, this is who we are because Christ is transforming our hearts. Y'all with me? Like, that's who we are. He says, as obedient children, right? So, like, it's not as obedient children. It's as obedient children. That's what he's saying. Do not be conformed of the passions of your former ignorance. As he gives us grace, it empowers us towards belief and obedience in Christ. When he talks about former ignorance here, here he says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So don't set your mind on the things you knew before knowing Christ. That's what he's saying to us. Set your mind on Christ. Don't live with your old heart. Live in your new self. Put your new self on. Verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So holiness. Holiness is to be set apart for sacred use. Think about that. So when he says, you shall be holy as I am holy, he is set apart for sacred use, the works of God, right? He's saying, you shall be holy as I am holy. You are set apart for sacred use. We are to do God's work. Praise God. Praise God for that. So just remember as you're reading scripture in the New Testament, this is not the law, right? It's not saying thou shall or thou shalt not. This is the gospel. Moses came bringing the law. Jesus came bringing grace and truth. He came to fulfill the law in our place because he knew that we couldn't fulfill it apart from him. Isn't that good? We just couldn't. Praise God. Now, When we respond unholy, and we will, because we're constantly fighting the flesh, we're simply reproved. And he gives us opportunity to respond differently, allowing his holiness to set in as he moves us and shapes us and transforms us into his image by the grace of God. Man, I'm thankful for that, because I can screw something up just as good as anybody can, right? So I'm thankful for that. All right, so back to 1 Peter, verse 17. And if you call on him as Father, 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 remember he looks at you as beloved children. As you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Church, listen to that. When he says when we are in exile, we are not citizens of this world. We're just not. Like, we are not citizens of this world. We're in exile. So praise God. We were ransomed and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We need to have the mindset that this is just a journey. We're on this side of eternity for a period of time, right? And thank the Lord on the other side of eternity. We get to be with God in his glory forever. I mean, just for eternity. So consider this a journey as we're in exile, and do everything you can to glorify God. Allow him to work in you so that we can glorify God. So think about this. The blood of Christ satisfied the wrath of God. And now God is increasingly glorified as we are increasingly satisfied in him. Let me say that again. This is a quote from John Piper. God is increasingly glorified by us as we are increasingly satisfied in him. So how do we glorify God? Be satisfied in him. Find your satisfaction in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thankful for that. Verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, the same God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So do you believe this, church? Do you believe this? Don't you see the beauty that Jesus was the plan from the beginning? He was there before the foundations of the earth. He was there. In the Old Testament, Jesus was predicted and hope was set into motion. In the Gospels, he was revealed and hope came in the form of a Savior. In Acts, he's preached and hope begins to spread throughout the nations. In the epistles, he's explained and we begin to have confirmed hope in who we are in him. In Revelation, he's expected. In church, right now, our hope is in his return. In verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. As the Lord continues to purify our souls through our obedience and love, we literally become like what we worship. Amen. Excuse me. So think about obedience like working out for the soul, okay? So I know there's a few of us in here that work out often, right? It's part of who you are. And then there's some of us in here that want to work out. And then some of us just don't, right? So that's okay. But if you've ever gone back to the gym after a period of time, man, those first couple times, that first week is tough. It hurts, right? Like you're sore. You're like, I don't want to do that. I can go do this instead or whatever it may be, right? But as you get in there and you're training your body, it just becomes easier and easier. You start to feel good. It becomes natural. Church, obedience is the same way. As he calls us to be obedient, it's tough. Like, church, I'm telling you, like, I will punt at opportunities to be obedient. Like, it is just hard. So I'm like, it's just easier to not do that, right? But praise God, the more we are obedient, the easier it is, and it becomes ingrained in us, and Christ just starts doing things. He allows us to be obedient. Praise God for that. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. That's our eternal hope. So I want to leave you with this. In Philippians 2, verse 1 through 9, it just talks about being imitators of Christ. So let's read through that. You can turn to if you want to, but or you can just listen. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, to glorify God. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name. Okay, so I've got three questions for you guys. Pastor Jason, he's been asking questions at the end of his sermons with the intent of you guys discussing them in life group. So you don't have to. It's just kind of there for you guys to discuss. But here's three questions that I want to leave you with. One, as we discussed, we are made in the image of God, an image that displays beauty, identity, worth, and delights in the enjoyment and satisfaction of God. Do you struggle knowing that that's your purpose? It's just something to talk about and flesh out. And I'd say a lot of us do, right? That's okay. Let's just talk about it. It's okay. Number two, we must die to ourselves daily so that we can have more of him and less of us. In what ways can you enjoy more of him? And in what ways do you need to die of self in order to serve others? Third question. Every day we believe in some sort of gospel. We do. Every day we believe in some sort of gospel. It's either a false gospel or a true gospel. The false gospel says, I need this or that to be satisfied. I need money. I need a promotion to be satisfied. Or if only I could get that promotion, then Lord, I would give you this, right? That's the false gospel. The true gospel says, I have everything I need in Christ Jesus, right? What gospel are you preaching yourself every day? In church, we have to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. We just do. The eternal hope of the gospel is the paintbrush for God's masterpiece. Church, you are part of God's masterpiece if you believe. Praise God. Worship team, if you'll come on up. Church, I'm just going to pray for us. And then Steve is going to come out and lead us into communion. Hey, thank you. We got through it. Thanks for saying it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Man, y'all were gracious, and I appreciate that. God is good. Father, you are good, and we thank you for your goodness. God, I just thank you for, God, just the ability to stand here today and just to share the good news, Lord, of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray over this congregation. I pray that you keep them and bless them as we are dismissed today. Father, I pray that you just draw their hearts. Holy Spirit, draw their hearts to the Father. Allow them to see you and see you rightly. Allow them to taste and see of your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your love, Father. Father, overflow our cups. Overflow our cups, Father, so that you may be glorified. God, you are good. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ben. That was, appreciate it. As is our custom here at Lighthouse, we're going to close out taking communally the Lord's Supper. And if you have your two-sided cup that was being passed out at the entrance, take the and put up, open up the top where the unleavened piece of bread is, and this time is for those of us who know Jesus, are a part of his community. We've been born of the Spirit, and we call him Lord. And if that's you today, we invite you to join us in the Lord's Supper and communion. If that's not you, we would request that you just refrain from this particular part of the service. But if you know Jesus, whoever you are, we want you to memorialize with us what it was he did. Matthew 26:26 says that while they were eating and they were having a meal, all of a sudden Jesus stops and takes unleavened bread and he breaks it. And he says, take this and eat it. This is my body and it's broken for you. Can you imagine? This was Passover that they were memorializing. They were celebrating being freed from Egypt, as they had done for centuries, and all of a sudden the master stops and breaks unleavened bread. And he says, this is my body. It's broken for you. Gosh, it must have been just a powerful moment as they looked at each other and the looks on their faces. And Jesus broke it and said, take, eat. This represents what I'm doing for you. And us being here today and worshiping, knowing Jesus, experiencing what Ben had shared earlier, it's all because he came and did for you. He came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He came and he completed everything, he said. He fulfilled, he completed, and his body was broken for you and for me. Let's memorialize what it is that he did and take the bread and eat. Thank you, Lord. And then he took the cup. He said, drink this, for this is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. Thank you, Lord. We memorialize. We stop, we memorialize, and we proclaim his death until he comes. We proclaim his death, and we proclaim his resurrection until he comes. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.